God. He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the earth. This is what we just read in Hebrews. You see, this is the amazing responsibility that God has given us. But Theophilus, or the writer of Hebrews, his intention is even greater than a reminder of the creation story. You see, we're created with that purpose, to have dominion over the earth. And when we forget this, when we lose sight of why we're here and the value that God has placed on every one of us, it undermines our sense of personal wealth. It undermines the value that God has placed in us. And you know, so very often we see that. Where people don't realize the value that God sees in them. And not only that, but it undermines our desire for fellowship with Him. So Theophilus says, yet at present we do not see everything subject to them or to mankind. We're not fulfilling the full purpose, the full intent that God has for us. Has anybody seen that fulfilled lately? Or are we just kind of blowing it? And so the writer of Hebrews is just reminding us of that. You see, it's sin. You know that little three-letter word that we don't really like to talk a whole lot about? It's sin in the human race that has crowded out and smeared the image of God. That's what he's talking about here. It's how we have allowed sin to erase that which God created in his image. So we don't see everything subject to them or to mankind anymore. The glory that he intended for us, because you see, created in his image, we're created to have a personal glory that reflects God. And it's been removed. You see, when was the last time? Occasionally you'll run into someone. But when was the last time that you saw somebody that truly radiated the glory of God? I can think of a few people. That truly, when you were talking, not that they were God, and don't get me wrong there. But they were so close to the Father that they radiated his glory. And you see, these ancient Jews that Hebrews is writing to, they had only began to experience God's full intention for them. And Theophilus, or whoever wrote the book, is saying, if you ignore this, if you neglect it, where else are you going to go? And I think he is conveying the same message to each of us. If we neglect it, where else are you going to go? And then he says, but there's hope. You see, he doesn't just leave us hanging trying to figure this out ourselves. He says, there's hope. All that sin has taken away is being restored, not by something that we do, not by something that we have caused, but it's by something that's been done for you, and it is before you today on this table. Amen. The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been done for you. So he continues in verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. But we really have to take our time and look at this passage. You see, that's where our hope is. Where are you going to find it if you neglect it? That's where our hope is. It's in Christ and nowhere else. Created in his image, absolutely. Intended to be crowned with the glory of God that only comes from him. Did you know that you're intended to reflect his glory? I hope that isn't news to you. But sometimes we need a little jolt, a little reminder. That is God's intention, that when people see us, we reflect who he is. And that's what he's saying here. You know, when we look at the world all around us, it seems like sin is gaining the upper hand. Does that come as a surprise to anybody? Does it just feel like sin is just crowding in on us? That we're on the losing side? But you see, this is what our friend Theophilus, or the writer of Hebrews, is telling us. We're not looking at the whole equation. We're not looking at the whole story. When it seems like sin is crowding in us, we need to add Jesus to the story. Amen. And you know, sadly enough, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But when we add Jesus to the story, everything changes, doesn't it? It really does. So our hope is what we just read about in verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. He was like us for a little while. Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. He became the sacrificial lamb for us, so that he tasted death instead of us. You know, if you've ever had a chance to walk through ancient civilizations, the ruins of ancient civilizations that have risen and then crumbled, in all honesty, you see the results of sin throughout the ages. This is what it looks like. And in the midst of it all, there's only one who is changeless. Hebrews 13 boldly proclaims, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, civilizations will come and they will go. They will be powerful. They will yield huge armies and all kinds of muscle. And then they will fail. There is only one who will never fail. When we add Jesus to the equation, regardless as to what the world is throwing at us, regardless as to what the sin nature looks like, he is the one that we can count on. He's the one that's always there. He came to give us life. And then get this. You see, the salvation story is beautiful, and it's part of it. And yes, he took my sins. And yes, I can come to him and I can ask for forgiveness, and he forgives me. But there's another part to that whole story that I don't want you to lose sight of, because this is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He restores us to the position that God originally intended us to have. You see, he doesn't just save us, but he restores us. And he places his stamp of approval on us that we might reflect his glory. The glory that was given in creation can be ours today. You see, Hebrews continues, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. The pioneer is Jesus. He suffered that we might be restored to that original position that God has. And this is a beautiful message of hope. It's a message that moves us along of who we are. You see, it seems like there's an identity crisis that's all over the place. People don't know who they are. They don't even know what sex they are. This is who we are. And this is the glory that God gives us. His original intention is being restored in Christ. So we continue reading. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children of God. The children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, for that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. You see, we are not bound by the lies the devil throws at us.
Amen?
Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Jesus broke that. And it's ours. And he calls us to be pursuers of holy lives. To live in the pursuit of holiness. That's the glory of God. He wants us to engage in this restoration process. Holiness, living and reflecting not only the image, but the characteristic of God that we were created to reflect. You see, I don't want you to leave here today thinking, I can't change. I can't change. I am who I am. That's it. No. God has got abundantly more for you than that. And his intention is that you might draw so close to him that when people see you, you reflect him. Pursuing holy lives. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy. Why? Be holy, because for I am holy. You see, he wants us to be drawn into his holiness. He wants us to be who he is. Living lives that are in pursuit of holiness and how we experience victory over sin. You know, if you keep falling back into the same sin and keep that same temptations, and it just seems like an endless cycle, I would suggest to you, A, you're buying into a lie. I can't change. I am who I am. This is as good as it's ever going to get. That's a lie. And B, you're not submitting to the holiness of God in your life. Because that is where we find victory. That's it. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. And it's the difference between living in hopelessness and living in hope. There's so many people that are hopeless. And sometimes I'm on Facebook with some, well, they were kids at one time, and they've grown up and gone to university, got hooked into the stuff that university throws at them, and I read some blogs that they put out there, and I go, oh, what happened? Because truly they are living defeated lives. God never intended for us to be defeated. His intention was that we might be victorious. You see, everything the world throws at us, it's there to tarnish the image of God. You know that? It really is. Jesus came to give us victory. It's ours. He is our champion. He came that we might be set free. That we might be able to do things that we never thought was possible. That we might champion over creation. He came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it was not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. It was us.